Now, on your handout, that was just an old newspaper article. Infectious disease is a big part of climate change. Personally, I think that's a lie. And you see the date up above there. This is when we went through this chapter in Genesis about 10 years ago, and there was a magazine or a newspaper article under it, and we made a lot of fun of that, and I just kept the title there. I thought I'd better explain that, or you might think I believe infectious diseases are a big part of climate change. I don't want anybody thinking that. But anyway, a couple other little articles there. I don't know where they came from, not the newspaper. One of them's a Becca. I know that. And then also at that time, we made Genesis 8:22 our memory verse. We'll be hitting it at the end of the lesson here today, hopefully, good Lord willing. And we hadn't had a memory verse for a while. Let's just try that. Now let's say Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth together. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth. Again. Oh, that's terrible. Again.
Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth.
That's a little bit better. Again.
Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth.
One more time. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth. Now, the rest of it's going to say seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. We'll have summer and winter, spring and fall from now on forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. You've been reading the Bible every day, praying every day. If you need help, I'll get you one of these. Good Lord willing, there will be another Bible Readers Banquet next January. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Y'all know me pretty good. Okay, we're in the book of Genesis. In chapter 1 and 2, we saw the creation of all things. God made everything you can see and everything you can't see. He made it all, made me and you. Chapters 3, 4, and 5, we saw then man corrupted all things. And therefore, in chapter 6, starting out in 6, God has to condemn all things. And we looked at chapter 7 last week. And this week, let's start off here in chapter 8. It says, and the Lord remembered Noah and every living thing and all cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Now, that's not the only thing God remembered. I'm glad he remembered Noah and the creation. I'm glad he remembered me and you. He did not forget him. He won't forget him. He can't forget. I forget. I think my main attribute is I forget. I forget. You can just about count on me forgetting. But let's see some other things the Lord remembered. Here in chapter 9, which good Lord willing, we'll be on this next week, so I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but it is tremendous to me. Genesis 9, starting in verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. Guess what? That's us. That's us. I know we're going to have local floods occasionally, but the whole world will never flood again. He promised us that right here. Right here. That's to us. Remember, Noah and Mrs. Noah is our grandparents. Adam and Eve is our great-grandparents. And every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the water of the flood, neither shall there be any more, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Now, Doug Holly told us what perpetual was. Do you remember? It's forever and ever. It's eternal. It's going to go on and on. He'll never flood the earth again. He made a covenant between us and him. And he sealed it in 13. I do set my rainbow in the cloud. Every time we see a rainbow, a bow in the cloud, we can remember this covenant and remember how good God is to us and to Noah and his seed, which is me and you. This is real personal to me, and I like those rainbows. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. Whenever you look at a rainbow, just remember God's looking to the other side of it, the back side of it. And I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh. That's me and you that is upon the earth. Now, let's look back up at verse 10 for a minute. It says, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. Now, Friday, Sister Kim and I got a brand new Bible trivia game. We've had one for 20 years, but those 12 grandkids have been hard on it. So we got a brand new one. And Kim met the upstruck. He didn't hardly get it in park. She was out there getting that thing. And she done squalled at me. And she had it in there and done shuffled the cards before I could get downstairs. My study's upstairs. And we played Bible trivia. And I'm just going to give you, since we're right here, I'm going to give you one of the questions. It was Kim's question. I read it to her. And it's, which animal came out of the ark first? Go ahead. It's your turn. Go right ahead. Well, we'll see it later on, maybe. We'll see it. Let's look what else we'll remember. By the way, Kim got it right. She paused for, she almost said something else. Then she got it right, and then she beat me. That's the whole game, I mean. We played the 50, and Kim won, and that's your Sunday school teacher. That's your great big Sunday school teacher right there. Kim beat him. And not only that, she's been going around saying stuff like girls is better than boys and all that stuff. Yeah. Let's see what else. God remembered Abraham and Lot in Sodom, chapter 19. Verse 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. He remembered Abraham and he remembered Lot. He remembered the prayer that he was going to answer prayer and wasn't going to destroy it for 10 or less. Then he remembered his champion in Judges 16. Judges 16:28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death was more than they which he slew with his life. God remembered him. He heard his prayer for one thing, and then he remembered him. God remembered Israel in Egypt, Exodus 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, and hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Then chapter 6, verse 5, we see what would be done with him. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And he remembered a crisis in Genesis chapter 30. Verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and he hearkened to her, and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. He heard that. It was a crisis to Rachel. And God remembered the thief on the cross. Luke 23. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He'll do it for you too.
Right.
He'll remember you today if you call on the Lord. Well, the Lord remembers me. I guess I need to do some stuff. I need to remember some things. I need to remember Him. Let's look at that in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, 4, starting in verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I should remember him, shouldn't I? It's what Brother Rick should do. It's what I should do. 78. Psalm 78. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. I need to remember my rock who I'm standing on. I need to remember He's everything. He is solid ground. I can depend on Him, count on Him. Nehemiah 4. Nehemiah 4:14-15. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I'd say pretty soon we're going to be doing that. We're going to need the Lord. We're going to need to fight for our brothers and our family. We need to fight for our family. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, we're still here. I'm going to go ahead and say 70's young. I need to remember Him now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The other day we went to the funeral of a 93-year-old. You know, everybody don't make it that far. be okay if I just go ahead and remember him now. That's what I need to be doing. That's what I see. I need to remember him. Jonah remembered him. Jonah too. I don't need to wait till I get down in the deep to remember him. I need to remember him.
Right.
If I can find it. Jeremy's a lot quicker than I am. Oh, maybe he's not. Maybe he's not. Let's see if we can beat Jeremy. I didn't say Jonah. How about Jonah 2? Okay. Jonah 2, 7 through 9. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I'd say I'll do the same thing. Buzz and Kim were telling me the other day some whale swallowed somebody. Anybody see that? I didn't see it. I believe it. I didn't see it. Remember the Lord. Jonah remembered him. And now let's go back to chapter 8. Anybody figure out which animal came off the ark first?
The raven.
Raven is right. Dove almost. Dove second. Good, good. You and Kim's right up there, buddy. You can't beat y'all. Genesis 8, verse 1 again. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. I had to look it up. Assuaged is almost the same thing as abated. We'll run into down there at the end of verse 3. Assuaged means soften. It eased up, ease, reduce. The water reduced, it subsided, and it lessened. Abate means lessened, and assuage means lessened, both of them. And the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat, and the waters decreased. There's a synonym. There's a King James definition. Continually until the 10th month, and in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So it's just starting back down now. The 7th month, the 17th day, the day the ark rested, is the same day the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In chapter 2 in Genesis, the ark rested. In John 19, Jesus rested. He gave up the ghost and he rested for good. But then he rose from the dead on the 17th day. The ark landed the same day of the year the Lord Jesus arose. Resurrection. It's a resurrection. We already said the ark is a type of Christ.
Right.
And this is just another picture. The Israelites crossed the Red Sea on the 17th day. The Persians called the Mount Ararat K-O-K-I-N-O-U-H. And that means the mountain of Noah. Wonder why they call it that. Wonder how that got passed on down to. Wonder how the evolutionists missed that. The Persian town of N-A-K-H-I-T-C-H-E-V-A-N means the landing place or the first place of lodging. Wonder why it's called that. Wonder why that. How did that get passed down through?
Yeah.
Wonder how that happened. The town of T-E-M-A-N-I-N means the place of eight in Persian. Wonder how that happened. Wonder how that got passed down through the centuries. The town of Erivan means the first appearance. That's where Noah settled. The town of Naxuana means Noah settled here, and they claim to have the tomb of Noah. God protects this, the ark, for his own reasons, but And one way he does, almost every day on Mount Ararat at 3 p.m., there's a storm. I think he wants us to just believe this. That's what I think. The highest peak, 17,000 feet, and the second highest peak, 13,000 feet, of Ararat are very difficult and hazardous to climb. The rocks are loose and porous. In the summer, there's poisonous snakes, wild hogs, and bears. In the winter, there's snow, blizzards, and ice. Actual contact and exploring of the Ark happened in 1916-17, and then also in 1952, a mine engineer took pictures of 100 foot above the Ark in a helicopter, and it was clear enough you could see the planks. That's the Ark. Now verse 6, Genesis chapter 8. Here's an unsuccessful attempt to exit the Ark. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the Ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, preacher, a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. The raven's a scavenger. A raven's also mean. We got another lesson on that somewhere. He's a picture of Satan. He likes unclean surfaces. Don't bother him. He went out and he landed in the mud. Didn't bother him. Noah became a bird watcher. Watch him. He was hoping, but the old crow never come back. Verse 8. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the earth, from off the face of the ground. I like that, the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark and stayed yet other 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Now the dove wouldn't touch down. It wouldn't get in the mud. Picture the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. The dove likes it clean. And olive oil, by the way, a little sideline here, cleans the dirt off a mechanic's hands. It's medicine for a stomach, if you have stomach problems, or wounds even on the outside. It replaces butter and lights lamps. Verse 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Noah was discreet. He used discretion, distinguishing between two things that are similar. Discretion's a particular kind of wisdom. It's being able to tell the difference between two things that are similar. Like two brick buildings, can you tell the difference between a Kingdom Hall and Mountain State Baptist? Two black books, can you tell the difference between two black books? It has to do with self-control, a sound mind, and understanding. Let's look at it in 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. That's the only place you can get understanding is from God. That's the only place. Let's check it out in Genesis 24. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, The Lord's real interested in us not marrying the heathen. He doesn't want a saved person to marry an unsaved person. And that's just a tidbit of wisdom right there. 41. Genesis 41. Verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And then 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath, we'll turn a page here, hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Our almost perfect picture of the Lord Joseph is, and that's how the Lord wants me to be. Wise. I need to get my wisdom from Him. Psalm 112. A little bit of wisdom here. Starting in verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desires upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So I need to get discretion from the Lord. Proverbs 1. A few around here, some, many, I don't know how many, have been telling me they've been reading a proverb a day. It's like a one-a-day vitamin. There's 31 proverbs. You read one a day throughout the month and start over, and you'll never get it all. But maybe I will pick up a little bit of this wisdom here. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is why it was written. This is why Solomon wrote it. To receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. That's why Brother Rick needs wisdom, discretion, and proverbs. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Wise counsel. Chapter 2. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now, I really want to read verse 21, but it says, my son, let not them. Them is in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. We're talking about the commandments of God in verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. The word of God. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Chapter 5. Verse 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Chapter 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold in swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. No wisdom, no knowledge, can't tell the difference. Chapter 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Might be why my dad said, son, don't get mad. Said, if you get mad, you're going to let everybody know you're a baby. Said, don't get mad. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. If I got any wisdom at all, I won't be going around getting mad and blowing my top. You know, the emptier the pot, the quicker it boils. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Let it go. Let it go. Now, where am I going to get all this wisdom? We already said it, but let's read it. If Rick says it, it means nothing. But if we read it, it's Isaiah 28. Verse 26. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. I just come to tell you, it's the only place you can get it. It's from God. Now, back to chapter 8, verse 13. Here's Noah's surveillance. He surveys the situation. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face, there it is again, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And all these birds fly off toward land. And then in 15, we see Noah's summons. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. We've heard that before, over and over. That's the purpose. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. Not one was lost. Noah and Mrs. Noah, the three sons and their wives, all came out. Everybody that went in, got out. Everybody that's in Christ is going to be there.
Right.
He's not going to lose one. Let's look at a couple of verses on that. John 18, 9. John 18, verse 9. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. And I mentioned it the other night or sometime. Let's look in Luke 21. Sometimes the stones are a picture of us. We're the building stones in the church in Ephesians 2. And sometimes we're stones in the Bible. And the Lord said in Luke 21, 5 and 6, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, and in this verse, not so much eternal security maybe, but he's not going to forget nobody when the rapture happens. He's going to get everybody. He won't leave. There won't be one left behind. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you're going up. When he comes by, like a magnet. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, here's Noah's altar. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings upon the altar. The altar was, this is the first mention, by the way, of an altar. And it shows that he gave thanks and worshiped the first thing. But that's not all. He left behind a witness and a testimony. Everybody that walks by there and sees that stone altar is going to know that Noah worshiped, that Noah believed in the one true God. Then here's his sacrifice, 20 to 22. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord, it's a picture of Calvary, blood shed on the altar. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living creature as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Let's say that first phrase again. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth. Again, Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth. Good, again. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth. Good, again.
Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth.
Okay, I hate to break it to you, but the truth is Noah didn't improve much. We don't get much better. Actually, we don't get any better, to tell you the truth. Father Noah's kin to all of us, and we're pretty good at the rebellion and rejecting this and not repenting. After the flood, the oceans and the seas were larger. The seasons were more distinct. Lifespan decreased. We don't live to be 900 anymore. That went down. Man's not just a vegetarian, now he eats some meat. Let's look at one last verse and we'll quit. Second Peter 3:10. Here's your global warming. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Then we'll get a new heaven and a new earth. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down for us. We love you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.